Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umep. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umep, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We are so glad that you're here. A very good morning to you. My name is Lynette Morgan. Along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Umep has the week off. All right, Dr. Mixon, you ready for some more phone calls today?
Let's do it.
All right, that number to get through with your call is 206-644-6006. We are going to stay right here in Seattle. We have Bill calling on the line. Hi, Bill.
Well, hi, Lynette and Dr. Jerry. Question for you about skin, dermatology.
Okay.
I'm age 65, real healthy. I've never been on any medications. Now, I've never, ever had a wart or a mole. But for the last, 22 years or so, it hasn't really changed. I've got about, on my forearms and back of my hand, just three or four fairly small skin tags. I've looked it up. It's minor, kind of some type of keratosis. It's a real dry, little bit of a flaky growth. They're not really very big, but they haven't really changed for 20 years. You know, is that something to be concerned about? Should I go ahead with that to get them frozen off, or just leave it alone?
It depends on how beautiful you want to be. they're not going to do you any harm. They've been there 20 years and they're not changing or growing, then I'm not overly worried about them. But, you know, if you don't like the way they look, getting rid of them is an easy job. I mean, they can freeze them, they can acid them, they can hold them up and nip them off with scissors, for that matter. They're not hard to make go away. It's just a matter of, you know, if you got a little expense, you got a little bit of discomfort, and then they're gone. That's your trade-off. It's not that big a deal.
Okay, and I take it it's a fairly common thing among people. I just didn't know why. You know, when I was a kid and teenager, I was in the sun too much. Do you think it's related
probably
to sun exposure?
Most of the hazards we get with aging skin is related to some extent to, you know, the fact that when you and I were kids, we loved to get suntans and we just baked ourselves out there. And yes, that radiation damage, it prematurely ages our skin and it sets us up to have all kinds of things grow. So... But, you know, we can't undo what we did 50 years ago, 60 years ago. So we just have to, you know, we live with it. We treat it now. And I have utilized my MetaSpa frequently.
Yes, Bella Medica. You know,
I own it. I've got $800,000 worth of equipment sitting there.
And I lasers figured, staff.
I may as well use it to keep myself as unugly as possible.
not even a word in your vocabulary, Dr. Mixon. No.
Okay.
He has beautiful skin.
I was going to mention that. So is Bella Medica, do they have a procedure that can treat what I have? Is that something I should pursue?
Yes, they do.
Yes.
And, you know, they can use the little hyphricator there and basically just cook these little skin tags. Mm-hmm. My wife had one on her forehead recently that they treated, and in a week you can't even tell where it was.
There you go. It's worth going in for a free first-time beautiful you consult. You know, they'll look at you and you can let them know your concerns.
The first evaluation is free, and then they can decide what they need to do to make you gorgeous.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds good. Hey, thanks very much for your time today. Thank you.
You're welcome,
sir.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Call them Bill. Bella Medica is what you want to do, and you can get in touch with them using our same phone number, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. All right. I think we have another skin question for you, Dr. Mixon. You ready for this one?
What is it?
This is from Denise in Linwood. Hi there, Denise.
Hello, Denise.
Hi. Afternoon, you guys. How are you?
Yes. We're good.
We're doing well. How can we help?
Good. Yeah. Grover's disease. Any ideas on, I got tested or biopsy on it about 2 years ago, right during the COVID pandemic, and finally got it treated after about a year, and it keeps coming back, and they've given me creams at the dermatologist and stuff, but nothing's working. So I do belong to your clinic in Linwood.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, Grover's disease is, let me see if I can define that for the rest of the folks out there. It's usually transient. It's not usually a long-acting sort of problem.
Oh, okay.
Right.
We don't know exactly what triggers it, but we do know some things that at least increase the risk. We used to see it a lot when we kept people in bed in the hospital a long time. They would develop it on their back, and they're these dry, kind of reddish, sometimes with a little scabbed area right in the center, intensely itchy. And that's the biggest thing that people complain about is that it just itches to beat the band. And the standard treatments are the fluorinated steroids, the creams that you can just apply once or twice a day, and that knocks it down. Benadryl orally. Benadryl either applied to the lesion and or taken by mouth. The downside with the Benadryl, if you take it by mouth, tends to make you drowsy.
Makes you sleepy, yeah.
But you can actually put Benadryl liquid right on the rash and will often help knock down the itching somewhat. So the combination of the steroid cream and the Benadryl applied topically will often help.
Does it taste like grape, though? Like sticky grape if it's on you?
No.
No, that's the children's version.
That's the children's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see, what else is there? Go ahead.
So nothing like internal I could take, like, because I know one time she said maybe they could put me on like a tetracycline, but I really don't want to go on an antibiotic.
Yeah.
Because it was on my back really bad, but now it's on my shoulders. It's cleared up on my back, but it's moved to my shoulders.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem with this is trying to figure out exactly what is causing it. What we think is probably happening with Grover's, because it's more common in people that are sweating a lot or in hot weather or have occlusions on the skin so that they can't get the sweat out, is we think that the sweat gland, for some reason, instead of putting the sweat on the skin where it's supposed to go, will actually allow it to diffuse sideways from the sweat gland out into the skin and almost mechanically separate the skin layers. And that's probably why we get these little punctate, round, red, irritated with sometimes a scab in the center, is that you've got this kind of dysfunctional sweat gland going on. So, you know, we often see it in interesting people with dry skin because they don't have enough oil in their skin to keep it smooth and so on. And so the sweat glands will sometimes become a bit dysfunctional. Yeah.
Okay.
Treatment is just symptomatic, you know. So all we can do is knock down the symptoms when they occur. And
I'm on all the creams, the progesterone and all that. She tapered me down on some of that because it was too high. Mm-hmm. Do you think that could have activated it a little bit more, sweating more?
Maybe, yeah, because the testosterone and the progesterone both increase skin growth. The progesterone causes the skin to grow more elastic fibers and get thicker and stretchier, more elasticity. But, of course, that usually helps fill in small wrinkles and creases and makes your skin prettier. But it does grow it thicker, and that thickness may well add a little bit to the Grover's. And the testosterone, of course, increases our sweatiness. It's a vasodilator, and high testosterone folks sweat more. That's one of the reasons teenagers sweat a lot and old folks not so much.
Not so much, yes.
Exactly. And since we think this is related to the sweat gland, you know, that would make sense, that the two hormones that increase sweating could also increase incidence of your Grover's.
Okay. So I can't exercise where I sweat so bad that it goes away now.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, wear black.
I know, right?
Yes.
Now, does any type of blue light or the dermatologist said go into, she doesn't like the sun tanning boost, but she says that sometimes helps a little.
It does sometimes help. Yeah, the blue light or the ultraviolet light. I mean, ultraviolet is, you know, far blue. It's so far blue that we don't see it. And so blue light or ultraviolet light therapy will sometimes help. Of course, it also suntans and damages the skin and photoages it. So
right.
Only as much as you really need, young lady.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, you guys.
You're welcome, dear. Take care. Bye.
Right.
Oh, Denise, I hope you're able to get some relief from that. I hadn't heard of that, Grover's disease.
Yeah.
Okay, must be rare.
It's dermatologists seldom call it by the eponym. They call it a acanthosis. Is the term that a dermatologist will probably use for it, but. Okay. Somebody used the eponym, which is just where we attach a doctor's name to it.
Yes,
usually
okay.
The doctor who first described it in the literature.
Then he is the one.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the Sesame Street character.
Nothing at all to do with our little blue friendly
blue friend. You won't get blue fur or a big pink nose or a cute little voice.
Nope.
All right. Good
well,
to clear
maybe
that
you
up.
Get a cute little voice.
That's
how do
right.
you know about that?
All right. Here we go. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back. We have Robert on the line with a question, and we have room for you, too. Leading Edge Medicine continues in just a moment. Here is our number to get through live today with Dr. Mixon. It's 206-644-6006. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game.
And we're back. Leading Edge Medicine on a beautiful Saturday. It is going to be such a great day. Get outside, get some of that sunshine. Remember why we live in this area. It's green, it's beautiful, and yeah, we'll get some rain and clouds, but boy, on a day like this, it's priceless. Let's see here, Dr. Jerry Mixon, we've got some room for you. Our show here, 206-644-6006 with your questions and concerns. We would love to help you out. We have Robert on the line calling in from Seattle. Good morning, Robert.
Hello,
yeah,
Robert.
Last show you mentioned you sell vitamin E. I need some vitamin E supplementation. You mentioned that it had a lot of omega-3s. Does it also have omega-6 and what ratio? And is it okay just to get relief factor? And does that have enough of the same vitamin E to be effective? And lastly, there's a certain website named after a big river. And it does sell like her.
Okay.
Well, oh, wow. Lots of questions
here. A couple of things. First of all, none of those were vitamin E. If I said E, it was a error because...
vitamin D were we talking about?
Well, we talked about some vitamin D, but that wasn't with the relief factor. Vitamin D was for immune response, bone density, that sort of thing, cognition. The relief factor has omega-3s, Icarin, resveratrol, and curcumin. those are the four things in the relief factor.
Maybe the omega-3 sounded like a vitamin E.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I don't think we've talked about E yet today.
No, I mean,
your E, does it, the supplemental one outside of relief factor, what does it have, both threes and sixes, and what's the good ratio?
Well, again, that's not E. That's the omega-3s. Okay. And it has the DHA, EPA, which are the two omega-3 fats. And no, it's straight omega-3s. There is no six in it because Americans generally eat way too much omega-6. So you've got omega-6 all over your diet and all the prepared foods. So what we need to do is to raise the omega-3s to try to get some decent balance in there. Okay.
Okay, so I'll just go to your website and buy the omega-3 supplement.
You can get the omega-3, and then if you do the relief factor, each packet has as much omega-3 in it as one of the doses in the omega-3 supplement too. So
plus other good stuff.
Yeah. So, well, no, the omega-3 is just omega-3.
Right. But your relief factor has more.
But the relief factor has four different things. Yeah. So, but yes, you can get either one of them on the websites or the clinics or, you know, online.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you, Robert.
I say here, I thought he was calling about vitamin E, and I was just kind of rehearsing in my mind, okay, let's see. All eight forms of vitamin E, alpha, beta, delta, gamma.
I saw your
gamma,
brain going, yes. Yeah.
Alpha, beta, delta, and gamma tocopherol, and alpha, beta, delta, gamma tocotrienols.
Oh, boy, those are nice big words.
So there are eight different vitamin E's. The alpha tocopherol is the one that they sell most of the time, but the delta tocopherol and the gamma tocotrienols are the most effective ones for improving your cardiovascular function.
Ah, okay.
So we do have a vitamin E preparation, but we do it with all eight of the vitamin E's in ours. We don't just do the alpha.
Is that something that we as humans, as we're aging, are needing a vitamin E?
Well, see,
or like you said, vitamin, we're getting that.
Vitamin E-rich foods contain all eight.
Okay.
99% of the vitamin E supplements only contain alpha tocopherol.
Okay.
They only have one of the eight. So we sell one that has all eight. Most vitamin E's only have one of the eight.
Mm, okay. Learned a little something again on Leading Edge Medicine. All right. Again, the phone number today, a little different than what we've had months before. It's 206-644-6006. Why the new phone number? The studio made a move, and they had to, of course, rip up all the phone lines, put in new phone lines. This is the one we have for right now.
So the phone company gave them a new number.
There you go.
Which just strikes me as strange. I mean, you've been paying for those numbers for 25 or 30 years.
Yes.
They and need all to get of a sudden, back. They went away. They should get them back.
All right. Well, we're waiting for that to happen. So until then, we are a 206-644-6006. Another call from Seattle. Seattle for the win today. By the way, did the Kraken win yesterday? I may have to Google that and find out.
I have no idea.
No.
I know the Seattle. No, they did not.
No.
Oh, Kelly, I'm so sorry. I guess we're going to have to root for the Seattle Sea Dragons. That game is tomorrow.
Well, we
XFL.
Have another Sunday. I think we play Sunday the
night
in Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, they do, the Sunday night. So we've got the Kraken to root for, but we also have XFL. I know this because at my regular job, I was dressing up as a dragon. And they took pictures there, yes, with my co-host. So
as a dragon Kraken?
Not a dragon. Yes, Kraken costumes. You can't find those on Amazon, but we were able to find sea dragon costumes.
I see.
So,
okay.
There you go. My co-host's idea, and I'm all about going, yes, it's fun. Let's do this. So we're
and you just
for
like playing dress up.
Well, of course.
You?
Yes.
Okay. So how can we help you, young lady?
Yes. Kelly, what can we do for you?
Okay. Well, this is really actually for my brother. I'm not calling in for anybody else. But my brother is 68, and he's a photographer who travels all over. So a lot of times, and he won't go take care of this stuff himself. So I'm just trying to see if I can get some pointers to help. So when he travels a lot, sometimes his legs will swell up a little, but then they go down, right? It's like you know, they go down, so he doesn't pay any attention to it. But the one thing he has now that he has all the time is, like, he says he has, like, it's numb on the bottom of his feet. Everything else is fine, but it's numb on the bottom of his feet. He says it's weird, but, you know, he's used to it. And I'm just trying to think of things that he could do. He got a TENS machine thinking that he could bring circulation to his feet by applying the electrodes to the bottom of his feet.
That sounds like a torture. The electrodes to the bottom of the feet.
Yeah.
Of course, I envision, you know, the car battery sort of thing.
Yeah, really. Give us your war secrets.
No, it just uses that, like the TENS machine that you would use for your back. But I'm just trying to, you know, he's not going to take my, the information that I give him, he might, but it's not like he's going to.
Okay.
So I need help from someone, a man who can tell me how to deal with another man.
There we go.
Well, I always give in to seduction myself, but this is not for your brother.
So yeah, this may not work. You have to
get a friend for that one. So, let's see. Numbness in the bottom of the feet, it makes me worry about insulin resistance, rising blood sugars. You know, you can start getting paresthesias and altered sensation in your feet 10 years before you become a diabetic. So okay. I'd really want to take a look at his insulin production and his blood sugars and his A1C. The other thing is I'd take a look at his feet. The shapes of his toes will tell you something. There are people that have a particular shape toe where that first joint is not terribly flexible, have a high genetic incidence of altered sensation in their feet as they get older. People with we call that hammer toe. It's where the first joint doesn't flex, so the other joints have to hyperflex to
I'm
push
looking
off
at my feet,
walk.
Dr. Mixon.
And, yeah, I know. I'm calling for my brother, and now I'm looking at my feet.
Yeah, you're looking at your feet.
Yeah. But that's a physical finding that goes with numbness in the feet with age, because it's a linked genetic trait. So
right,
if you have those shaped toes, you can count on your feet getting numb when you get old.
Isn't that kind of interesting? If you even have hammer toes, it's going to happen?
I'm going to have Dr. Mixon look at my toes.
I have to remind myself why I called.
Yes.
You see, my mind tends to wander. I just take my callers with me.
There you go. Yes, and I'm over here Googling what the callers, just because I want to know. I want to see what is going on. So neuropathy in her brother's feet.
Yeah, but the most common cause is either rising blood sugars or rising insulin levels. Mm. We see that a lot in pre-diabetics or in type 2 diabetics. And so.
Okay. I will have him get that checked. But my question then is, if you do have kind of like the onset of hammer toes, which I'm looking at mine, and I think mine were from wearing heels so much, maybe that caused some of it. But how do you?
You don't. It's genetic, dear.
Genetic. Oh.
It just was built in your genome at time the egg met sperm. And they just said, hey, let's give this one some hammer toes.
Nothing to do with...
And we're just kind of stuck with it.
Wearing shoes and things. Okay, well, that's good to
blame
know.
On mom.
There we go.
Or dad. It could be either one of them.
That's right.
They're both recessive genes, and they have to share the blame. You never know.
Okay. And then my last question is really small. I was one of those people you talked about earlier that was out in the sun running around in Southern California most of my life. But now it's like, yeah, I got some freckles and stuff. But I'm noticing now that I get, I guess what I would call it is, and it's not a lot of it, but it's more of a light brown patch, like maybe it's melasma or is that all associated?
Yeah, it is. It's almost all sun damage. And if you go to Bella Medica, the ladies can make it go away for you.
Yes, they can.
Even if it's flat and doesn't have any...
You don't have to have anything raised. Mm-hmm. If it's raised and dry, we call it a seborrheic keratosis. Those are actually harder to get rid of. But those where it's just a discoloration, where it starts off tan, a light tan, and it gets darker and darker and darker through the years... And the ladies can use the PicoSure laser, break up that melanin, and it'll all go away.
Yes.
And is there any nutrients, supplements you suggest or recommend to minimize that, or is it too late at this point?
At this point, your biggest deal is a great sunblock. Use a 50, SPF 50 sunblock, and wear a very stylish hat with a wide brim. Okay.
Well, how am I going to get my vitamin D? Do I have to totally supplement it?
Well, I take 5,000 every day, but yeah, that's the easiest way.
But you're out in the sun too, though. So if that's you're right. totally sunblocked,
but I wear my fedora to keep
yes,
the sun off my face.
Okay, I hear music, so I think you have a break coming up. So
we do.
That's right. Do you want to stay there, Kelly, and we'll talk more about this on the other side of the break?
No, I think I'm okay. I got everything I need. But thank you guys so much.
You're welcome, dear. Thank you.
Oh, good. Have a great day.
Kelly.
Bye-bye. All right. Leading Edge Medicine concerns that you have, diagnoses, maybe symptoms.
We only got 30 minutes left, so
that's
come
right.
on. Give us the call because we're going to disappear.
That's right. And you can be, don't wait until the very end of the show. Call right now. Phone lines are open at 206-644-6006. We'll be right back. Medicine continues this morning. Oh boy, the last Saturday of April. When I see you next, it will be May.
Yes, that's right, because Monday is the first, isn't it?
Yes, May Day.
May Day, ooh.
That's right.
There will be the great parades in the communist countries.
Oh boy, yes.
All the military posturing. And then the eco-freaks are going to come throw dye on everybody that they dislike. Yeah. But
I always think of, May Day, put flowers on somebody's porch, ring the doorbell and run away.
Yeah, or
when I was a little kid.
Or dancing around the maypole.
Yes, the maypole. I remember seeing
pretty girls
of that.
With long dresses wearing aprons dancing around the maypole.
Flowers
with
in their hair.
Flowers in their hair and different colored ribbons going around
there
the pole.
Go.
I think that's a much better approach to the 1st of May.
I think so, too. Let's make that happen. We'll add that to your list.
Okay.
Of things to make happen.
I have to put flowers in my hair and dance around a pole?
You can just be the pole and have the pretty ladies
the pole
dancing
dancer.
Around you.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, boy, that's a whole other thing. Let's just stick to flowers. I'm Lynette. Hi there. Good morning. We're having too much fun. Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio live today, and we've got some callers here. We're going to go to Camino Island today. Bonnie is on the line. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Hello,
how
buddy.
Are you guys today? Sound great.
Wonderful.
As always, we are so good that
yes,
if the scoundrels in charge find out how good we are, they're going to find a way to tax it.
Oh, and you know they will.
So we're going to keep it a secret, just twixt us and you. Okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Just 35,000 of my closest friends.
That's right.
So I've been a patient off and on for 20-some years. Dr. Brassel is currently my doctor that I see.
Oh, good.
Wonderful.
I had a x-ray of my knee, and I've had an MRI of my right knee. A little bit of arthritis. Nothing was causing any problem when the arthritis was just there being it doing its thing. However, I have got now currently have given myself a couple small meniscus tears.
Oops.
Oh, ouch.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I am. Ouch. I did ibuprofen and Tylenol. Then I realized after a couple of weeks, ibuprofen and my brain do not work well together. So I got off that, went to Aleve. Yeah, I can't say that I'm getting much relief at all from that. I did the relief factor, 2 packets a day for about a week. I didn't notice any difference. I've done ice. Last night, I finally grabbed the heating pad. And I've probably just calmed it down enough so I could go to sleep for a bit. And I am scheduled over at Pro Ortho to do
good.
A PRP. But
good.
First question I want to know, the Inescent Cell, is any of that, would any of that be benefit prior to that?
Senescent cell therapies?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Anybody over 60, I would really like to get those senescent cells as low as I possibly can, because all of us at a certain point are having increasing numbers, and they slow our ability to heal and repair. So,
okay.
As the research is coming out, I'm just becoming convinced that senolytics but also things like high dose resveratrol to decrease the formation of senescent cells is going to be important for our longevity.
And so how high is a high dose of resveratrol?
I take 350 milligram capsules each day of the resveratrol. And that resveratrol does not kill senescent cells, but it inhibits the formation of senescent cells. So it lowers your load by having you not make as many of them.
Right. And is that dosage based on body weight, or is that a good round number for everybody?
It was just a number that I could hit that was well above what the literature showed that decreased senescent cell formation. The studies where they were looking at senescent cell formation were using 500 to 600 milligrams a day. But most of the resveratrol pills out there are only 100 milligrams. So you're having to take 5 and 6 of them. So right. I kicked it up. But then I had a neuropsychiatrist friend of mine who treats people with age-related dementias, and he was using 5,000 milligrams of resveratrol a day trying to kick their brain back into high gear. And wow. So, yes.
All right, so 350 isn't much at all then.
Yeah, so my 1,000 milligrams a day, I take three of the 350s, that gets me 1,000, which is one-fifth of what he was using with his demented patients, but twice what the study used. So the yeah. only problem I see with people that get 1,000 a day is about 20% of them will get loose stools.
Okay.
The other 80% won't. Mm-hmm. But since constipation is a problem for lots of older people, I consider that a benefit, not a downside. So.
Right. So then the other thing, I was Dr. Stinkley over at ProArthur is the surgeon, and he said it's not bad enough to do surgery on yet. And at 73, I'm thinking, well, wait, I need to get on with my life. I don't know that the pain is, when I'm still, it isn't as bad, but I have a very terrace piece of property and lots of stairs, and I can't live my life without doing stairs.
Yes.
So is there anything that I can do to get this pain level down? I've been wearing one of those support pull-on things periodically, but then that even gets to be irritating, so I rip that off.
Yeah. Oh. I understand. I tried a knee sleeve for a while years ago, and I hated it. I know that the PRP is almost a standard therapy for this now. So many doctors are doing it. I don't know if stem cells would add anything extra to it or not. That's one of those things. If Dan Nelson is listening, Dan, give us a call and tell us what you think. I know he listens to the first show. I don't know if he's listening to the second one or not. But...
Okay, well, they offer me their cortisone, and I rejected that.
No,
and
don't
then
do
the other
cortisone.
One was hydrochloric acid, hydro something. It's stuff you use on your face. It's same
okay.
one. But I wanted to know, can that
hyaluronic acid? Hyaluronic
there you go,
acid. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah, hyaluronic acid gel. Yeah, and that basically acts like thick motor oil in your joint. It just kind of cushions everything. Hmm. And
can that be used in conjunction with the PRP?
I don't know.
Me either.
I know we used to use that back when before we knew anything about PRP or stem cells. But see that lasts 4 to 6 months usually, and then you have to repeat it. And whereas if you can heal this with the PRP or the stem cells, or the combination of the two, that's better yet. Tell you what, Dr. Nelson is in the same clinic, but I think he's the only one over there that does the stem cells. Right. You might call his office and just ask, you know, explain that you're going to have this PRP done for your meniscus tears, but that you're wondering if stem cells would be an additional therapy or not.
Okay.
Just because he's the expert in that and I'm not, but I'm curious, and that's why I'd love to have him give us a call if he's listening. So, but you listen to the last 15 minutes of the show, and who knows, maybe he'll call. We can hope.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, take care, dear. Bye-bye.
Oh, yep. Thank you for your call, Bonnie. We have room for a couple more calls. Will that be you? Give us a buzz at 206-644-6006 for Leading Edge Medicine. Kathy, your call is next. Stay right there. We'll be right back. The sunshine today. We got a couple more calls this morning on Leading Edge Medicine.
Well, we only got 10 minutes to get them,
okay,
so let's get moving.
Dr. Mixon, take a big breath. Okay, yes. All right, we are going to talk to Kathy in Des Moines. Hi there, Kathy.
Hello, Kathy.
Welcome to the show.
Hi there. I have a friend, an 87-year-old friend, who was just diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis. And I wanted to learn more about that and maybe something she could do. She said she had an infusion, and it was like paradoxic. It made it worse.
She had a paradoxical reaction. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, paradoxical just means it's the opposite of what you expect. Oh. You give them something to decrease inflammation, and instead you increase it, which always is frustrating as hell to doctors.
Yeah.
Get you back to the no good deed goes unpunished. Well, okay. Psoriasis is an autoimmune disease that is usually thought of as a skin disorder. It's usually a red, scaly plaque. We usually see it on knees, elbows, areas of flexure and trauma. But it can occur on a lot of places, and it's really unfortunate when it occurs on the face, for instance. There are some very good drugs that will suppress psoriasis now, though, that some of the immune modulators that basically alter the way your immune systems work. The psoriatic arthritis is when that very same immune inflammatory process moves into the joints. And it can be an incredibly painful and debilitating, destructive process in joints.
It just
rips the joints to pieces in a big hurry. And so, you know, these days, if somebody's developing any psoriasis and develops even a twinge of joint pain, I send them to the rheumatologist and say, please, please, you know, consider this patient for the immune modulators. Because those are the most potent drugs we've got for this problem right now. Those drugs they're very strong, very nasty drugs. They do some bad stuff, too. They suppress your immune system and make you far more susceptible to both cancers and infections of all kinds. But on the other hand, if you're in agony from your joints and you can't get around, they're certainly worthwhile. You know, it's always a matter of trade-off. I wish we had medicines that didn't have side effects, but we don't. Everything we do has a downside, and these immune modulators, the downside is, you know, a rise in infectious deaths and in cancers. But those things become an issue in, you know, a fairly small percentage of time. You're going to raise your cancer risk. You know, instead of having a cancer risk of maybe 5%, you go to 7 or 8 or 9%. So it's not that if you take it, you're going to get cancer, but if you are cancer prone, it raises your risk even more. But you got to treat what's causing the most problems, right now. That's
what are some of the names of those immune modulators?
Ooh, hang on a second. I've got a paper.
Like yeah, a
I've got a paper on that.
Okay.
But, you know, which ones you would use for that. So I'm going to pull up both.
He's going into his secret medical file on his computer to grab where that paper is.
I've got about 6,000 papers that I've stuck over the last 20 years. Okay. And
he's narrowing it down.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and for this particular one, it looks like the biologic that they are using most often is, see, we used to use methotrexate, cyclosporine, which worked reasonably well, but the newer ones are even stronger. I'm just trying to find something with an A is what it is, what I'm remembering. Here it is. Yeah. Okay, I will spell this one for you.
Okay.
Because there's no way you'll do it otherwise. It's APREMIL. A-S-T.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that.
That's the one that is mostly being used with psoriasis right now. So.
Okay.
It's
so
got a brand name, but I don't know the brand name.
And so modifying your diet or maybe losing a few pounds would be helpful.
Weight loss always decreases inflammation. Okay, if you got inflammation from any cause in your heart, your brain, your joints, your muscles, if you are inflamed, decreasing weight is my number one go-to. There, if you go to my website and type in anti-inflammatory diet, we have a diet that you can download that helps to decrease inflammation systemically.
Great. Great. Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Take care, dear. Bye-bye.
Thank you much, Kathy. We have time for one more call. We're going to go to Marysville. We have Lynn on the line. Hi there, Lynn.
Hi. I'm interested in finding out about Tarlov's cyst.
Tarlov's cyst. Okay. Dr.
Wow,
Mixon
okay.
is looking at us. Yeah, well, we're playing a little stump the doctor today.
Yes.
With some, we've had some new things here and some rare things.
All right. Well, these are meningeal cysts, though, or perineural cysts. They're basically fluid-filled sacs that are around the, usually at the bottom of the spine, down in the sacrum. Unless they're causing compression on a nerve root, they're not usually something you treat. So what's caused the concern about a Tarlov cyst?
Oh.
The pain it's causing.
Okay, so it is. Yours is compressing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of layers around the spinal cord, all right? There is the perineurum and the endoneurum. And then the epineurum. You got three layers there. The two inner layers, the endoneurum and the perineurum, are where these cysts normally form. They're basically fluid-filled sacs that kind of bulge the cyst out. And that bulging cyst is in a space where there's no extra room because the bones, the spine is made up of bone, you know, with a series of little bones like building blocks stacked one above the other. And the spinal cord is going down through a hole in the center of those bones. And so when you get a cyst, it can't expand. The bone won't let it go out. And the only way for it to go is in against the nerve tissue. Generally the neurosurgeons don't like to mess with these if they don't have to. But if it's making you too miserable, they may have to go in and see if they can do something about it.
Would it always show up on an MRI?
I don't know. I guess it would depend on how big it is and how heavy you are.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no overweight whatsoever.
But, okay, good.
they said they didn't see it on the MRI, and it could be how they sliced the sacrum on the MRI.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and some things, see, this is, if this is truly a Tarlov cyst, it's filled with spinal fluid, the cerebral spinal fluid. Right. So this is the same fluid that's bathing your brain, bathes that entire spinal canal. And so it's just that stuff is now bulged out with the membranes that are supposed to contain it.
So how do you hear that it is that kind of cyst?
How do you what?
How do you diagnose that?
Oh, well, if you diagnose it, it's usually it's a matter of either an MRI or where they'll inject some dye into the spinal canal and then get the X-rays of the radio-opaque dye, because that'll show it even if the MRI doesn't.
Yes.
Okay, because they were just going by symptoms, and so we're not that positive that that's what it is.
All right.
Okay. All right.
I got it.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sure.
Thank you for your call, Lynn.
Bye-bye.
Wow, what a busy. You've had several hours on the air this morning.
4 hours on the air.
4 hours. We're going to give your brain a rest. Questions. Dr. Mixon, oh, what a day.
Next, I take my wife and daughter out for lunch.
Oh, that'll be perfect. And you get to enjoy that sunshine. I hope you do, too.
We're going to eat out on patio in the sun.
Oh, that sounds just perfect.
Visit with some friends of ours from France and generally have a pleasant time.
That sounds wonderful. Well, of course, we want to see you here at Longevity Medical Clinic. We still offer that free health analysis appointment. Find out all about it by going to our website at lmclinic.com. You can also go and give us a call at 866-86-YOUNG. Until next week, I'm Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon. You have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you next time.